Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, hallelujah, good morning. This is Masita, Dr. Cappuccino again, coming to you live from the Dr. Cappuccino Show. And hey, I want all you guys to take notice. We're going to have a new name, a new outline coming still at the same time on Saturday today. But we're also going to have a lot of new content, new material. And most of all, you're going to see a new face for the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Hey, hi. I'm glad you guys are, oh my God, you're dialing in. Okay, thank you very much for signing on to hear something just very, very critical, not only in America, but for the world indeed. And I'm praying and hoping, and I'm crossing both my fingers on both hands that Dr. William, Colonel William Harrison, will be back on the show. Dr. Harrison, are you with us again? Yay, say yes. Mr. Harrison, are you with us? Hello, Mr. Harrison, are you with us? Okay, well, I guess he's coming on. I'm not hearing him. Hello, Dr. Harrison, are you with us today? Mr. Harrison. Dr. Harrison, are you with us? Okay, it says you're on hold. Dr. Harrison. Dr. Harrison, are you with us? Okay, I don't know what's going on. Dr. Harrison? Dr. Harrison, are you with us? Okay, I'm not sure where he is. Here, let's see if he's coming up. Okay.
Hello.
Harrison? Hello. Okay, I've been saying Harrison. Hey, you guys.
Yes.
So very famous. So we now can see. Thank you so much, Dr. William.
Yes.
Harrison, Colonel.
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay, on the show. Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. We've been yelling for Dr. Harrison, so we're going to probably have to clip that part out. But thank you guys. Thank you guys again for being on the Dr. Cappuccino Show via your phone, your landline. We have a very interesting topic this morning, but keep in mind that for next Saturday, we're going to have a new look, a new postulate. We're also going to have a new title for the show. Oh, we've got so many good things happening because we see you guys want what we have to offer, and that's life-saving information. And, of course, if it's not saving your life, you can always pass it on to someone else. But thank you for tuning in. Again, we have Dr. Harrison with us. Now, our topic this Saturday is what kind of life should all be living, part three. We've had one, two very good episodes, and now part three, because we touched a little bit on the last show on the topic of suicide. People are just in deep anguish. They don't know where to turn. Because many of the institutions that were put in place years ago for them to receive assistance, you know, it's not there, or it's not there, it should be there. But the topic that we're going to really speak on is suicide. Here in America, 10 million suffer from mental illness alone, and we know from research that, according to the World Health Organization, that if a person's mentally ill, there's a 75% chance that they might be thinking about taking their life. Mental illness causes that disease, and they're these number one, number two killers. And we can say if someone is sick at heart, then they have heart disease, and of course they might be feeling faint at heart, wanting to end it all. So we're going to touch on that, and another reason why is because suicide is at a 30% jump, 30% high here in America. And then the WHO says it's climbing even in some of the other countries. When people don't feel there's a way out of hell, or they don't feel that there's a way out of anything that might be plaguing them, causing them to be upset, causing them to want to wage war. Oh, my God, I could go on and on and on that. They feel, hey, I think this is the best way to check out here. I don't want to live. Why should I live? What am I living for? How come I'm here? And I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what a plan is. You know, I didn't come in with a manual. All these are subjects that we could speak on forever and ever. But right now, we're going to have Dr. Harrison introduce himself and talk to us a little bit about why he feels there's such a rise in suicide, especially here in America. Dr. Harrison?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Capitino, listening audience. I was thinking as you were speaking, Doc, with regard to the particular subject pertaining to mental illness and the high suicide rate. I guess I'm more qualified to speak it with regards to the increased suicide rate. My understanding, during my tenure in law enforcement, 38 years, we had to have precise training with regards to handling of the mental ill and handling of suicide victims. And we have found from the law enforcement sector that the suicide, most of the people we responded to assist that tried to commit suicide or committed suicide, if they committed suicide, they left a note behind for loved ones, a friend, significant other. If they attempted to commit suicide, the medical evaluation was that they were experiencing some type of depression, either something catastrophic happened in their personal lives or failure in their personal lives or loved one pass, or it runs the gamut. But this nation, with advanced medical technology and improved medicine to treat various sorts of illnesses and so forth, should be doing more proactively with regard to suicide victims as well as the mentally ill. We are first police officers, the first responders, and oftentimes, 38 years, I had put my life and personal experience online to try to save the lives of others. But with regard to suicide victims, it's very delicate because if the approach officers approach to a suicide victim that has intentions of committing suicide is not careful and cautious, the officer could end up not only aiding the victim in committing suicide by the wrong approach, but also could also possibly get injured and caught up in the suicide rapture. So it's a delicate thing. We need to do more about it medically. There are resources out there and just not enough being done. And it's affecting our teens now. That's the new generational age. It seems to be affecting just the teens more so. So I'll pause for a moment.
Yeah, you mentioned resources. You know, I've been on the line doing a lot of research there. And while there are resources for those that are mentally ill and depressed, no one is really attacking this thing called suicide. I don't think there's enough resources out there to do so. And I'm saying that because you really have to know a little bit more about the person that is grieving internally and very sad and thinking there's no way out. Resources can help a lot. Mental health can only go so far. If this individual started off in the valley, you know what my dad said? He said, whenever you find yourself in your line or you don't know what to do, where to go, he always said, go back and get off where you got to get back on where you got off. Go all the way back. And so I'm going all the way back to the family itself. I think people need to look at their children growing up, and the kind of life that they are living, not the one that they should be living. But I'm kind of thinking that, you know, there's a clear to someone wanting to end their life, especially with the rates being increased among the 12 to 18. Teens are feeling disillusioned. There's mom and daddy say one thing and do another. I mean, there's a lot of things that cause someone to suicide. Basically, self-hatred is at the top of the list. So growing up in home, what would cause someone to hate themselves? What would cause someone to feel that they're not worth it and worthy of love? And you can always put love somewhere in this equation. A person that loves themselves is not going to kill themselves. So we're looking at, you know, back to this home front. How were they taught? Were they loved? Were they encouraged to love others? I don't think a person's in love with life and everything it has to offer would kill yourself. So you don't need a resource to say, okay, here, I want you to read this, don't kill yourself. Here, I want you to go over there and take up this kind of musical instrument, don't kill yourself. Hey, maybe you should change jobs, don't kill yourself. Hey, maybe you weren't fit for her, she wasn't fit for you, don't kill yourself. I think resources can only go so far. But I think when you talk about suicide and someone wanting to harm themselves, kill themselves, just go out of existence, it really speaks of a self-hatred. So I think we need to, starting back with the family again, if we're talking a resource, maybe it could be a resource in Human Cartel, where people are asked on the ground to go almost in a door-to-door fashion. It never fails. You know, there's a song that they sing in the church, "He never failed me yet." That will never fail. Identify problems right where they start and where they stem from in the home. The home base. You can even do something similar into the school system, because when they leave home, that's where they head, the actual youth. So I'm thinking that tackle as a minister, because I'm sure that's what the church is all about. Talking about God, God is love. Talking about his son, he sent his son down to 42 generations to save a wretch like me. You know, these churches are still saying that. They're losing ground, but they're still saying that. But I'm thinking that when we talk about suicide and major causes, according to statistics, self-hatred and the feeling of worthlessness, those are the two biggest things. So, and we're not getting back on the church thing. So, Pastor Dr. Reverend, you will not have had something, which I am. But I'm thinking that if we could somehow in America come up with some kind of way to instill this thing called love and worth and worthiness into the hearts and souls, especially in the heart, because heart disease is number one killer, you know. If we could find a way to tackle that, I think we could say the suicide rate would definitely decrease. If they're killing themselves, who's going to be around here running the world? We really, this on this part three, we want to tackle the fact that suicide is on the rise, and what are the practical ways? We know we can go over here and listen to them, go over there and listen to her, but let's do a numbers thing. Let's say with the time that we have allotted, let's talk about seven ways that a person can be cared away from suicide. Why don't you name a couple?
Sure, Doc. One is, as you had mentioned, Doc, that they have to, the parents have to initiate love and show that esteem for their child. So once the parents show love toward the children, then the child will develop self-love. So the parents' love, I would say one, self-love, number two, and number three is the child being involved with regard to a positive atmosphere, positive surrounding, positive peer group associates, because a lot of the suicide comes through the bullying sector as well. And I don't want to get into the school episode thing, but sometimes people have suicide wishes to empower themselves first, to go out and do something foolish and something that's devastating, that would shock the conscience of society, and they all know ultimately they're either going to have to commit suicide or they'll get taken out. So that's another spectrum of suicide from a law enforcement perspective. But again, the parents' love, self-love, and finding friends who also are esteem and love. And let me just make this a segue, this comment to the church. The church are advocates of love because God is love, but the parent can't or shouldn't expect the church to teach their children how to love. They're the ones that brought the children into the world. So it's their responsibility.
Okay, I love, I'm going to have to jump in there on that. Oh, yes, it is the church's duty. Do you know why it is? Because the Bible, now I'm not preaching or anything like that. The Bible says that the men and women put in charge of man's soul is responsible for that. This is why the churches are empty now, because they're not doing that. They don't want to take responsibility that God gave them, starting with Abraham back in the Old Testament. We are our brother's keeper. So if we're told we're our brother's keeper, then we have a responsibility as churchmen, churchwomen, clergy, to not only talk about love in the church, but actually show it. And it's just not being done. Some are saying the church is the worst place to be right now in 2018 because they are not teaching just what we're talking about now. And the church has a high suicide rate on their own members. If you Google that, you're going to find that search has to be true. So we don't want to take the wool off of the sheep. They are responsible. The law enforcement here on the West Coast says that this was the time when they wanted to find a killer or someone that had done something very bad in the community, they'd head straight to the church almost in walk distance of where the crime was committed. So we don't want to leave the church unscathed. I believe in God. I love God. We don't want to leave them unscathed. If God is love and they're preaching about that God, then they have a responsibility to share the love that God, whatever his name might be, has put on the table. They have that first responsibility. It's not the politicians, it's not government. They're businessmen and women. But when it comes to the soul of man, people feeling so unworthy. The church today preaching that men and women are worthy. Are they worthy of God's love? Are they worthy in life? Are they worthy to be experiencing the happiness and the joy, the fruit of the Spirit that Galatians talk about? Now, since we're going there, Galatians 5, since we're going there, are they being taught the fruits of the Spirit that will lead to a life of joy? Jesus said, oh, I come so that they may have life in abundance. But if they're taking their own life, there's something wrong with that. So I'm going to say yes. The churches, religious leaders, clergy, whatever they call themselves today, if they're not teaching that, they're failures. They're failures at their mission. And, of course, we both have already agreed on the show, God is going to take them out. Judgment starts first at the house of God. It says that. So I think we want to put that hook back on the religious. They must start teaching that and, of course, living that life. And if one church springs up with some kind of a billboard in the community saying that all you who are laden down, come on in here, we have this, we have that, but also love. And let the people come in and see if there's a Pharisee. And I'm thinking back to the church, since we always end up on that because you're a pastor and a reverend also, we've got to put some of this responsibility back on men and women of God, because God is love. They're the responsible party for coming in and trying to help release some of this high suicide in our nation. Would you agree a little bit on that? I should hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mean to say or indicate that the church isn't responsible for helping to be advocates of love. I was trying to say it's not the principal duty of the church. It begins with the family, and the reason I say that, because the church delves mostly in agape love, love of God, heavenly love. The family is supposed to deal with filial love, love of family, love of husband, love of wife, son, daughter, aunt, uncle, niece, nephew. And the other spectrum is this: if the family not bringing their children, whether they're infants, whether they're teenagers, or whether they're early adults, to the church, then it's difficult for the church to minister to them. So the church becomes an adjunct to assist the family to embrace love on the family side, embrace love from a godly point of view. But due to the decline, some churches may not be advocating love. But the church that I'm still ministering and have oversight, you walk into the door, you'll feel the love within the sanctuary. So, but one of the problems is the children out in the world, and so they're exposed to elements in the world, and not a lot of them, Dr. Coppentino, listening audience, are brought to church or taken to church by the parents nowadays because they're caught up in so many other distractions out there in the world, and so it's hard for the church to really be an effective advocate to help the parent, help the child, try to reduce the suicide tendencies and all that thing, because they're physically not being brought, for the most part, into the church house.
Okay, I'm going to ask you something on that. Yeah, they're not actually being brought there. I'm going to say this. Why should they be brought? You know, Jesus left a model. He sent his people out two by two. So why should anyone be interested in a church that's just standing there making statements that they're there in the name of God to help and assist those in the community that might be suffering from a mental illness? Mental illness, you can almost say that's spiritual. You can't see that. You can't put your finger on it. No one can really say how the brain really works. Neurosurgeons, neuropsychologists cannot explain. American Medical Journal, they don't have any answers. So why should the church sit back and expect them to come in there if they're sick, loaded, bloated down, laden down, just like Jesus said some would be, trying to get some relief? It is the church's duty to go out, seek. He said, here we are, we're back on the Bible again, you know, and I tell all of the listeners, this is not a religious station, but, you know, we're on it. He said, go out. Go out means go out, get out, go out. He says, go out, seek those highways, byways, whatever, which now would be our skid row areas where the least worthy, so-called worthy people from a financial standpoint are. So I don't know how strong that claim can be made that these change when you put someone that is that word comes from a Latin word, pastoral. It mm-hmm. also means that you're out. You can't pasture if you're not out in the pastures, P-A-S-T-U-R-E-S. That was where that word originated. But these modern-day ministers, they're just up there talking. You know, they got these nice suits on, jewelry. They're out there just talking to whoever come in. But the ones that really need it the most might not have gas again in the church. They might not have eaten the last night, and they're weakened. They can't walk to church. So I think with the model that Jesus left, to go ye therefore into the innermost parts, Matthew 28, go ye therefore into the innermost parts of the earth. Jesus got out walking all in the highways, byways. He's told his people that. So I think, again, we've got to put this coat of suicide and the prevention of it from where God originated it to come from, the church. They can't sit up there. They found out the hard way. They can't stand up there talking every week to some that people say, dead talking to the dead. You can't do that, and the people all on the outside. I think we've got to get back to basics. Get out of the church. Get out of that building. Go knock on the doors. Jehovah's Witness is a good model. No problem. Standing room only in the kingdom halls. Everybody says they're crazy, they're hateful, yada, yada, yada. But we see that it is working. All the halls in Los Angeles are being rebuilt, re-triplified. I'm seeing it with my own eyes, but the church is drying up. And I think the main cause is because people are feeling they're not really doing what Jesus told them to do. Get out of there. Go get them. If a person is in a burning house, you aren't going to just stand there watching. You're going to try to run in that house and try to save whomsoever they're screaming. So we can't just stand by and watch people burn to death in these homes. We've got to get out there. We've got to go where the people are. We've got to find the people that need God the most, and I'm saying the most because, you know, there's a lot of other religions. Atheism is on the rise. Why is that happening? Why is atheism? Because they've not done their job. They're sitting back waiting for somebody to call in so they can say something to them. They call back out, and there's nothing. You got to get in. The pastors have got to go to the people. They got to get out there in the streets, on the sidewalks, talking to people. They've got to do it. And I think once they do that, half of the problems will be solved. So we write back to them again. If we're talking about love, loving love, loving others, God is love. So all that it has to come through the spirit nature of a God to the people. I'm not saying preaching, you know, in the pulpit and all that is bad, but it has not worked. It'll never work because Jesus said, "Go ye therefore." What is your take on that? Go ye therefore.
Outreach ministries are definitely important. Certainly, we have outreach ministries here where I preside, and outreach ministries do have an impact. But
what is your success rate? you have an outreach ministry, what is your success rate? Because theirs is not doing very well. What is your success rate with your outreach? You have any sheep coming in there every week?
The outreach ministries in areas that that are stricken or ridden with poverty and blight isn't very successful because people's attentions are turned to their circumstances and their conditions, but the deacons and I still go out and minister to them in spite of it. And so even though it's more challenging because we live in a contemporary society where people, many have turned away from the church, the church is not the problem. It begins with the family structure, Doc. I came up in a structured family where my mother took us all to church, and whether she took us to church or not, and we reached a certain age, we came to church. Yes, we believe in going out. Yes, our pastors and churches should go out and minister to people within their community and so forth, and try and assist them with their needs and clothing and, you know, to whatever extent the budget that will allow them to provide food to the needy and all of that. But the traditional church model is challenged now because people have turned away from the traditional church model, and that is bringing people into the church where they can really be administered in a neutral, wholesome, spiritual environment. Some of these homes that we go and minister to are in chaos, but we go and we minister anyway, and the youth are caught up in marijuana and drugs with the family and so forth and so on. So society has a large problem. Yes, the church will take its share of ownership, but the family got, and the parents got to take their primary responsibility share of the ownership, and then we can work together to try to save some of their children from the increased suicide rate.
Okay, let me say this, because you're dead on it. I think what you're saying really should have the impact that we are talking about. But now let's go take it back. You're saying that, the parents, children, that is right. But if the church has lost its thought, its savior, why have they missed? I'm not talking about any other organization. Why have they missed these parents? This is why, again, we're going to stress they've got to get in to the home. If they can get into the home, they can help that father who's an alcoholic, who's upset and sad but that he can't really provide for his family. The woman is there. She's sick, laden down. I think we're right back on the same track. They've got to, those committed to teach this thing called love, because their God has already said that he's love, they've got to get out there and reach the parent. Quite naturally, you know, there's laws on the books that, you know, you can't really do anything with any minors if they have a parent there and in their home. But I think that if the church can go back to their first love and go trying to reach these parents and teach the parents, then quite naturally, once the parents learn how to live lives that are worth living and lives that their God would honor, I think we're back on the same track. The ministers, whoever's left behind, the ministers have got to get out and go in there to the homes and offer help, offer resources, offer teaching, preach, offer to come wash windows, offer to come babysit. We're talking about practical needs. I think we're still on this point of suicide. These people starting in the home, then that means the parents, we write back to that. The parents should be trained. Now, you have a very burgeoning church there. You've been a minister there. I think you mentioned on one of the shows 15 years. You have seen a lot going on, and this is why our next week show will be the same topic, what kind of life should all be living, and we're going to take this to part four, suicide in schools, and I certainly want to have Dr. Harrison back on the show. He's very live, and as you can hear, he's kind of sedated too, but I tell you, he is man of the hour. And so we're going to have Dr. Harrison back on the show, if he will have us. But at this point right now, I want to thank you all for being on the Dr. Copertino show. Next week, you will see a new title, a new format, a new way of looking at life from a practical standpoint. We can preach all day long, but it is the practicality of a life that God will honor. And that means one that will honor him. Thank you again, Dr. Harrison, for being on the show. We expect you back, sir, next week, and thank all of you for coming and listening to the Dr. Capostino Show. Have a very good weekend.